Great, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 1. It says, "One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in to listen to the word of God." That's a good start, isn't it? "He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, the owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish.' 'Master,' Simon replied, 'we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again.' And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, 'Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you.' For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people.' And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus." What a great story that is. There's so much that I could preach on from there. But this morning, I just want to talk to you about, as we've been looking at this series called Grow, and the fact that we need to grow as people in Him. And last week we looked at the fact that before anything can grow, there needs to be the seed. And if you want to listen to that, you can go and have a listen on the website. And just, you know, the seed is the Word of God. And before anything else, we need to be good soil. Before anything else, we need to be people that are ready for the Word of God to grow in us. And also, of course, last week I just said we're called to bear fruit. That is what God has called us to bear fruit for Him. And there are lots of different fruit we could describe and will describe, and I'll talk about that next time. But first of all, we need to look, because there are preconditions to bearing fruit. There are preconditions to bearing fruit. First of all, as I've said, the seed. The second is this: you need to have a strong plant. If I'm growing tomatoes in my garden, which I do, then I need to support that plant, because the weight of the fruit could break it. Or if I'm growing apples in my garden, which I do, I told you this last week, then I need to prune and I need to prepare and I need to... That tree has to be strong enough to bear the fruit it's going to bear. And so this morning I just want to talk to you about that. Because here's the thing. The danger is that we're so focused on the fruit that it comes at the expense of the strength of the plant. And the weight of the fruit is more than the plant can support. And especially an immature plant. And did you know this? Growing too much fruit can kill you? Certainly does in my garden. You know, if I don't support the plant somehow, if I don't give it the strength it needs, it can snap off and be... And those of us who've been Christians for a while will have seen that happen in people's lives. They're given a ministry too early, and their character can't support it. They're suddenly thrown in at the deep end. And we're asking them to bear fruit they're not able to support yet. And so for me this morning, I just want to talk about the importance that we grow strong. Because if we grow strong, we can bear lots of fruit. And, growing as a Christian is more than just growing in size and influence. It's more than just growing in the fact that other people listen to what you say, or the church grows in numbers, or whatever it might be. We need to grow strong. I just wrote in my notes here, growth of character. As we saw a couple of weeks back, the environment that we grow up in can shape our character. I showed you a picture of a tree that was growing on the top of a cliff, and it's growing away from the wind and away from the elements. It shaped by its by the characteristics, by the conditions it's grown up in. And we are the same, and we get shaped by those things. You can go back and have a listen. I told you you were all weird because you've grown up odd-shaped, misshapen. Sue said to me afterward, "I'm not weird, I'm quirky." She's making a face at me now. The way that we've grown up, the conditions, has shaped us. And we need to understand our shape. We also need to understand that sometimes there's some pruning needed, that Jesus needs to come and cut some bits off because they look a bit odd or strange. Not because they look a bit odd or strange. He doesn't mind that because they're sinful and stuff like that. He needs to get rid of that stuff in our life. You know, a gardener knows how important it is to prune, to prepare, to get the plant ready to grow fruit. And this morning, perhaps this is the key to all of this, is that God is the gardener. He's the one who knows. He knows better than we know. And too often we think we know the shape we should be, or the fruit we should bear, or the bits that need to be grown, or the bits that need to not be grown. He is the gardener. He knows more than we know. So this morning, as I just look at this whole thing of being strong enough to bear fruit, I've got 3 points. You'll be pleased, Eddie, 3 points. The first one is this: character comes before gifting. Character comes before gifting. Last week I finished by saying to all of us, we need to decide, who do I want to be? Not what do I want to be, but who? Who do I want to be? What character do I want to demonstrate? Because we need to develop the strength of character to support the fruit he wants to grow in us. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, when it grows, is his fruit, not ours. We can try and be kind, and we can try and be gentle, and we can try and be generous, and all the things that we look at as good character traits, and that'll be us. But God wants us to grow his fruit, supernatural fruit. That will be greater than anything we can grow. The impact of that in our lives and in other people's lives will be greater than that. And I've heard it said many times, it's easier to develop gifting in a person with good character than it is to develop good character in a person with great gifting. So this morning I want to ask again the question I asked last week: who am I? What are my values? What is important to me in my character? What character do I want to be? When I was in my teens, and I can't tell you when because I didn't take notice then, but I was really caught a hold of by this verse in 1 Timothy 4 verse 12, and I hope it's on the screen. Yes, it is. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you teach, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, and your purity. One of the other translations says, in your speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity. And I remember as a young person, you go around saying, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Thinking, it's like that demand for respect, isn't it? You should respect me, don't disrespect me. But then I read the rest of the verse and God just spoke to me, said, be an example in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity. And if we can do that, people won't look down on us because we're young. Or old, or whoever you are, if you can set an example in the way you live, in the your character is shown to be strong and godly, people will look at you and respect you, not because you demand it, but because you earned it. And how does Paul tell Timothy, this young pastor he's writing to, how to do that? Well, in verse 13 he says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. The Word of God. Devote yourself to the Word of God, to knowing what He says about you, to know what He says about other people. And so as a young person, when I read those verses, I somehow made the decision somewhere in my mid-teens that I'm going to try to be a good example in my speech, in the way I live, in my loving others, in faith and in purity. And, you know, I'm not always there where I should be. I'm often not there where I should be in terms of setting that example. But it's something that I decided. My character is important, to grow something good in my character. And I want to say this. I'll be moving on from this point in a moment. But if we know who we are, what is important to me, then the what we are becomes less important. If you know who you are, then the job you do, or the parent or not that you are, or whether you're married or unmarried, or all of those things become so much less important. Because if you know who you are, when you lose your job, it doesn't make so much difference. It doesn't make our world crash around us. Or when some other calamity happens, when a storm comes, when life is difficult, if you know who you are in Christ, you're not so badly. Your world doesn't crash down when that happens. You just continue. This is who I am. This is who I am. And so the challenge for us is to start to build good character before the storm comes. I'll come to that in a minute or two. Just to finish this point, character comes before gifting. I'm going to read two more verses to you. One from Romans 5, verse 3 to 5. We read this last week. Sarah read it the week before. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. James 1 verse 2 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." You need good roots. Root yourself in the Word of God. And when trials come, it strengthens character. And we need strong character to bear good fruit. The second thing I want to share with you this morning is that pruning is necessary. For good fruit, pruning is necessary. John 15, verse 1 to 4, Jesus is talking to his disciples soon before he is crucified. And he says this to them, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me." I don't have time to go into the remain in me part this morning, but let's lay that as a ground. We need to remain in him. We need to spend time in his presence. We need to be just connected constantly with him if we are to produce good fruit. But this morning, I just want to talk to you about pruning. Because gardeners know that for good fruit bearing, pruning is necessary. To promote growth, there are some bits that need cutting off. Sometimes God sets about us with the secateurs. It's painful, especially when he chops off a bit that you like. I like that bit, God. Sometimes the reason for pruning is obvious. It's the sin in our life, or it's the bad characteristics in our life, and God's coming and talking to us and dealing with it and saying, that bit's got to go. But sometimes the gardener chops off the bit that bore lots of fruit last year. Sometimes the gardener says, that bit's had its day. I want some more growth than that. I'm going to chop off that bit that's been fruitful so that we can create something even more fruitful. God knows better than you. He's the gardener. He wants you to get in shape for greater fruit, stronger than ever before. Pruning. Chopping off bits, Maybe they've done their fruiting. Chopping off bits, maybe because the fruit that God wants to bear, you to bear, needs a stronger branch than that branch is ready to support. Things that you like, things that you value, maybe he wants you to get rid of. I'll let him to speak to you about that. Maybe God, it feels like God is removing your most fruitful ministry. He's a better gardener than you are. The key is to trust him on that. There's another thing that the farmer has to do to make sure that it's similar to pruning, so I put it in the same one. And sometimes the gardener has to come and thin out the fruit. Last year, my apple tree was terrible because it didn't thin the fruit. I thought, I'll let it grow and see what happens. So I had thousands and thousands of tiny little apples. What I should have done in early summer was to go and pick off all the little ones so the big ones grow bigger. And a farmer knows that he has to do that. And I can, you know, next year I'm not going to make that mistake. The apple tree's only a few years old. I'm not very good at it yet. The tree's resources were spread too thin. And how many of us are like that? We're spread so thin that our fruit is useless for anyone. Does it feel like that you're just developing fruit and it all drops off? That happens to trees sometimes. It means you don't yet have the strength to support what God is wanting for you. We need to build some strength. Strength of character to prepare for the fruit that God wants to bear in us. And as we've read already, sometimes that means it's going to be tough. Because the tough bits build character. And Paul and James both tell us we should rejoice in those times because it's building character in us. Third thing this morning I want to share with you is this, and perhaps this is the one that I want to just focus most on. I feel like God needs to speak to some of us here this morning about. Sometimes a fruit-bearing plant needs support. When I grow tomatoes in my garden, before the storm like last night comes, I need to put a cane and I need to tie it to the cane because it cannot support itself. And when my tomato plants are growing, I'm always aware of the weather. Do I need to put a cane in before the storm comes? Otherwise, my tomatoes are gone for this year. And here's the thing. We need to be prepared to find support to bear fruit. We need support from those around us. We need support from our church community. We need support from our Connect group. We need support from people that will pray for us. Sometimes you see a tree, especially a fruit-bearing tree, and it's got a prop under the branch because it cannot support the weight by itself. Some of us need to have a prop. God has called us to bear fruit in such a way that we cannot do this by ourselves. We need someone to prop us up. We need someone to be there praying and interceding for us and spending time in support of us. In Luke chapter 5, We read that passage, and Jesus preaches, and then he goes out and preaches from the boat. And then he says, go and let down your nets. And Simon's like, well, we fished all night. Anyway, he puts the nets out, and he pulls the nets in. And the fruit is too much. There's too many fish. Who gave him those fish? Jesus did. But there's too much for him on his own. In fact, they're going to sink. If he doesn't ask for help at the moment, either the catch is gone or in whatever circumstances, one, the boat sinks and the catch is gone, or two, they let go of the nets because to save themselves and the catch is gone. If you don't have help, sometimes for what God gives you, you're going to sink and you need somebody else. Help! And your friends come with another boat. What a thing to be overwhelmed by success. That's literally what's happening. They're overwhelmed. The water's coming in the boat because of their success at fishing. And it's not their great fishing technique because they didn't catch anything by themselves. This is the fruit that Jesus gives them. Here's the challenge. Don't break because of too much fruit. Sometimes we need support. Sometimes we need to be tied to a cane to keep us straight. You need other people to pray for you. You need other people to support you. You need other people just to hold you. Sometimes you need to give them your fruit. Here's the thing. If you call your friends in another boat, they get the fish. Phil and Hannah here this morning from SKCC. Welcome. You know, I'm happy to send fruit to their boat. I'm sure they're happy to send fruit to our boat. Church is working together to bring people into the kingdom of God. You know, if God blesses us with thousands of people, we can't handle it. We need other people, and we'll be saying, Phil, come and help us. That here's the key. We need to ask others to support. Sometimes when we do that, they get the glory, not us. But if we're building the kingdom, we don't care about that. If you're caring about your own, you know, look at the fruit that I grew. That's not the motivation God wants for us. In our Connect group, I don't know if we've watched, have we watched the video about God is my banner yet? That's coming. Okay. I've lost track of where we're at. Aaron and Hur hold up Moses' arms when the battle is against the Amalekites and Joshua's fighting in the valley. We need some Aaron and Hurs around us to support us. Or maybe you need to be an Aaron or a Hur holding up somebody. And the time will come when somebody else is holding up your arms. Joshua's fighting in the valley, and as long as Moses has got his staff raised, the battle is being won. When it falls, the battle is being lost. So Aaron and Hur come and hold up Moses' arms. That's not a very glamorous thing to do. I'm not sure I should describe it too well, but you know, they're standing there right beside his armpits, holding up his arms. Their arms must have been aching as well. You know, this is hard work to stand all day long. Most of us couldn't do it for 20 minutes, but they did. This wasn't just a nice thing. This is a blimmin' hard work thing that they're doing to hold up Moses and support him. On Friday, we're driving back. We went to visit Ellis Thursday, Friday. On Friday, we're driving about. We're listening to some preaching in the car on UCB radio. And there was just a thing. Actually, it was somebody from Rick Warren's church, Saddleback's church in California. I think it's California. Giving a testimony. And she said this, Pastor Rick always tells us, build your support before the storm comes. Build your support before the storm comes. And what does that mean? We need to get people around us now before the storm comes in relationships that pray for one another and support for one another. And all of that entails strong relationships. And here in this church, the way we hope that happens is through connect groups. I know it happens in other ways in the church as well. There are other prayer groups and there are other things going on. But I want to tell you this. You need to find that place, whether it's in a connect group or somewhere else. You need to have a relationship strong enough with other people that you can call on them when you need support. You can call on them when the fruit comes, you know, and say, come and fill your boat as well. But also, when the storm comes, you can call on them and say, I need support right now. If I don't, I'm going to blow over. The branch is going to break. If you're sinking because you're trying to land a whole boat full of fish, while your neighbor has an empty boat, you're really not being wise, are you? But it means losing the prestige of landing a huge catch. But if we're truly humble, if we're truly building God's kingdom, then we're going to call on our friends to help us. And if you sink, I said just now, if you sink, there's no fish caught at all. So just to finish with this morning, three things that, you know, I believe God is saying to us this morning, and in your heart, maybe you're just responding to one of these things and saying, yeah, I know, that's what God is speaking to me about this morning. Well, as I just, you know, let's just get our hearts before God now and just saying, God, what are you saying to me? How do we gain strength to grow fruit? Build good character. To get character means good habits. Read the word, prayer, fellowship with one another. Hang around people who set you a good example. Maybe God's speaking to you this morning about pruning. There's some bits he wants to be rid of in your life. Maybe that's sinful habits. Maybe it's time-wasting stuff. Maybe it's things that have once been fruitful that now need to be gone so that more fruit can come. Or maybe it's about you're about to collapse under the weight of everything. Maybe the storm's coming and you don't have the right support around you. Maybe you know that God has called you to bear loads of fruit, but you know you need to get support before you can bear that fruit. You know you need to get a group of people around you or whatever it might be who can pray and support you and keep you going through all of that. For some of us this morning, that's going to mean some changes to habits. For some of us, that's going to mean building relationships with people. For some of us, that's going to mean the stuff that goes on after we leave this place. For some of us this morning, it means we need to, you know, kneel before God and say, God, would you get rid of that bit of my life? Would you come and do some pruning? That means to repent and humble ourselves before him this morning. We've seen over the last few weeks and repeated, and I think probably I'll repeat next time, growth is a process. You don't become a tiny seedling to a massive fruit-bearing tree in a moment. It takes a long time. But I want to be on that process daily, daily, moving forward, growing bigger, greater fruit. And I pray that that's all of our prayer this morning. Let's stand together now. I'm looking at Sarah and Ian. They look like they've got a song ready. Let's pray together. What have you got? Father, we thank you that you are the gardener, not us. Father, we thank you that you know better than we know. And Father, I pray this morning that whatever it is that you're speaking to us about, whatever it is that you want to do in our life, Father, we ask you to come and do it this morning. Father, would you challenge us to grow? Would you prune the parts that need pruning? Father, would you build strength of character in us so that we're ready for when the storm comes? Ready to bear fruit that you've called us to bear. Father, we pray you'd help us. We're flawed individuals that need you to come and do a great work in us. And Father, I pray you'd do that this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing together, and as we sing, let's just respond to God. And if you know that God's spoken to you about something particular this morning, you need to begin to deal with that right now. If you want to be prayed for, come to the front while we sing and we'll pray for you. the key to all of this is not just to hear what God says, but it's to put it into practice in our lives. And so often we're not able to put that into practice because what we need is spiritual transformation. And that comes through a work of God. As I said last week, the seed is supernatural. The word of God, it's not something that we, you know, design or grow or whatever. It's God's word. So my prayer this morning is that we know a supernatural word of God, even as we respond to him this morning as we sing.